Morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. It's disturbing to hear about the increase in positives. My sister just tested positive 2 days ago in Tennessee. She's a dialysis nurse. So prayers go out to all those who have family members or friends who've tested positive, for sure.
Well, we've seen the numbers go up when it comes to positive tests, but not when it comes to deaths.
And that's what I'm hoping for the best in this, surely.
Right, and we haven't seen one in a number of weeks. So before we get on to other stuff, I'm not sure, but I think you were the first to mention this to me. And a lot of people have since said, I've got this debit card that came to me in the mail, and it says IDES, and it's got the American flag, and it's got the state flag on it, and it's from a bank in Ohio. What is this? It's a scam is what it is. I think scam is the right word.
Yeah. Well, there are also bank cards that come from Georgia. There are some from California. I think you had Congressman Bost on maybe 2 weeks ago, and he had received a letter saying, you know, with the bank card. I spoke to him yesterday. He received another one, this one from the Employment Security Department in California. So I don't know that it's completely nationwide. I do know now that it isn't just an investigation in Illinois, it's a national investigation. And again, I think I mentioned to you before, I have questions about Deloitte's handling of our unemployment system, both the PUA and the regular. And I strongly think someone should be looking at if the other states that are involved, I know that there are at least five, if those are the states that Deloitte is handling as well.
So there was a call for an audit. There's also, I believe, a lawsuit in the works, isn't there?
There is. So we called for a special audit of IDES, the Republican caucus. The fortunate thing was we didn't know at the time when we called for the special audit the Auditor General was completing the regular audit of IDES, and in fact, they had also completed a follow-up. And so in that follow-up audit, there were repeat findings, all that showed a systemic problem when it comes to cybersecurity. So the very things that we've been most worried about have actually been proven out in the regular audit. So there was no extra taxpayer money used. So at this point, we've now seen an audit. We've seen that the very things that we were worried about have been proven to be true. Now it's time to have some hearings over this. And I would like to see Deloitte, the Auditor General, the governor's office, IDES, and certainly bring in maybe someone from the federal government to show what's going on in other states. Right now, it is absolutely imperative that we hold hearings on this. But again, remember, I'm in the super minority, so I can't call a hearing. I have to call on the speaker of all people right now to be calling on to do that. There is also a push right now for a special session, and that is over the corruption charges that we're hearing. We don't anticipate the speaker calling a special session to look at corruption charges that he may or may not be involved in, but certainly the governor should do that, and we don't believe that the speaker should be presiding over that special session.
All right. So you're saying no special session, no way to get this done? I mean, because when you look at it, so much has been relegated to the governor's office or taken possession by the governor's office. I mean, the legislators have really not had much to say about how things go in the state of Illinois in compliance, whether it's IDES and the issues there or whether it's COVID-19. It's been the gubernatorial and the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity.
Well, then that's true. And DCEO has been given an enormous amount of responsibility and power. And again, remember, they are not an elected body of individuals. Now, they work very hard, and I appreciate many of them that work there. But again, they've been given the authority that really only lies with those who have been elected. And the governor has taken a strong hand in many of the decisions that are being made. But right now, the one decision that is only his to make is for a special session, and he's being very derelict in his duties. He needs to call the special session to look at the the corruption that's going on. You know, there's a whole bunch of bills out there that people refer to as ethics reform. And in reality, I think we need to stop calling it ethics reform. We need to call it corruption reform. This is a day and age when everybody seems to want to use doublespeak because it makes people's ears feel better when they hear a word that they like better. The word ethics sounds a lot better than corruption. But in reality, we have a corruption problem in Illinois, and it needs to be resolved.
It's many people have said that actually to me, but they have been pointing at the term loophole. What is a loophole when it comes to ethics? You know, you can't do that? Well, who said you could in the first place? Who thought it was a great idea? A lot of people taking exception to loophole, that if we've got loopholes of that size in the state of Illinois, this should have been remedied long ago.
Well, if someone's using the term loophole for something that they're doing, then they're not engaging in ethical behavior. Because ethical behavior is behavior that is above and beyond what the law says. It's because it's the right thing to do. Now, I happen to be a faithful evangelical Christian. So the standard that I hope that I use every day is one that is set up on a much higher level than the law in Illinois. When we're talking about ethics and ethics reform, it's calling people to do something that is bigger and stronger than that which we're required to do by the law. And so when you see people saying, this was a loophole, well, then I say to them, maybe you already know that what you're doing is wrong.
You know, many people would say that they've known Madigan's been doing things not right for quite some time. And now you've got the federal government, and on that, the week after, they busted the Ohio Speaker of the House for this as well. A long time coming in many people's minds.
Well, there, you know, the Speaker of the House in New York, I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago, was also convicted, and I believe he's doing a 10-year stint. And it took about 10 years, I think, for that investigation to come to fruition. So I don't know if legally the Speaker has done anything that falls into the category of indictable behavior, but I do know this. That what the federal government has been seeking is a RICO case. And in the case of a RICO case, you don't have to have been the person that physically did the act. You have to be the one calling the shots. And in my almost 6 years in Springfield now, I can tell you that the Speaker is the guy calling the shots. So will they get to him in this investigation? I don't know. I can't imagine that they would not. I do know that they have now issued additional subpoenas to AT&T. And I understand that there's a possibility that Walgreens may see some questions as a hospital group that's in the Chicago area. And remember, one of the ways that they got Blagojevich was through going through Lurie Children's Hospital. So people do not like to hear that someone has been corrupt in their actions towards hospitals because. That's the very place that we go when we're in the worst position that we're in our lives.
All right. Now, I'm curious about something else. The CURE funds, those are funds from federal government for counties and municipalities. And JCAR had a meeting a couple of weeks back. There were enough problems brought up in the current rules that they have now another one coming up in August, another meeting, keep thinking August 11th. So they're in Washington talking about how they've got to be able to get aid out, relief, and stimulus. Illinois has not disseminated one single dollar to the municipalities or counties through the CURE Act. Not one single dollar, the way I understand it. Is that true?
I believe that is true. And, again, not only that, but the money that we're seeing through IDES. I was in a press conference on Friday with Congressman Rodney Davis and two other legislators, and one of the things that Congressman Davis brought up is the fact that Congress moved very swiftly to make sure that the dollars for municipalities and government entities and for individuals through the unemployment monies were acted on quickly. Well, you know, the federal government doesn't issue those dollars to each entity. They issue them to the states, and the states then have to have a mechanism in place to distribute that money. The Pritzker administration has done a very, very poor job of administering those dollars, and that does, again, and I'm not trying to be partisan, but the fact is that falls on the governor's administration to make sure that those dollars are disseminated quickly, efficiently, and properly. And they have not done a very good job of it.
Well, not $1 out the door, $328,787. The next meeting's not until August on the rules for dissemination. We have the money, we have the help, and sometime where there's a breakdown because, well, you've seen these pages and pages of numbers and figures, per capita allotment percentages. Like I said, Murfreesboro, right? I mean, just one small pick out of the bunch is, you know, really up for, let me see, let me make sure I've got that figure right for Murfreesboro. $328,778. A figure like that helps a small town like Murfreesboro. Here's another one. This is a question of propriety, maybe. When the governor said people who don't wear masks are the enemy.
Very poor choice of words on his part. You know, many of us, like myself and my husband, we went to church yesterday and then went out to eat afterwards. We wear our masks, right? Some people think you don't have to wear them. Some are doing it as a protest, whatever. Look, I know that we have the option of staying 6 feet apart from someone or wearing the mask. But if you're indoors and it makes someone else feel more secure, wear your mask. If a place requires them and you don't like it, don't go there. If a place doesn't require them and you don't like it, then don't go there, right? I mean, we're in a time right now when sometimes you personally have to do something that makes you feel a little bit more, a little uncomfortable so for the safety of everyone else around us. And whether the masks work or not, I don't know. But I do know they make the people around me feel better. So you'll see us wearing them. People, you're not the enemy if you don't wear a mask, but please, if you're not going to wear one, stay 6 feet away from people and don't make them feel uncomfortable by demanding your rights. Honor their rights. That's what we're called to do as a generous populace. So I wish the governor would have chosen different words. I think people would have listened to him more carefully.
I always thought it was interesting. A faculty member, SIU, who was an author on the Federalist Papers, once told me, and very sincerely, my rights end at your nose and your rights end at the beginning of my nose. And I've always had a hard time kind of understanding it, but that seems to help a little bit more these days. Here's an interesting statement coming from the American Monument text line. We were talking about ethics reform. That's why I've said if we have ethics, we just need to enforce them. We don't enforce the ethics violations that we have now in the rules. That's an interesting observation from our listeners.
That's totally true. And, you know, we had an ethics commission that Representative Patrick Windhorst was a part of, and they came back with some excellent recommendations. But remember that when we met in May, the kind of unwritten rules for our May session was that we could only talk about COVID bills. And, you know, that didn't really happen. There were other bills that were thrown in. But the Ethics Commission's recommendations and the bills that would have solved those weren't called at all. So in veto session, I would certainly hope that if we don't get a special session in place between now and November 17th, that we would address them in veto session. But isn't it convenient that veto session isn't until November 17th and election is November 3rd? So obviously, the speaker doesn't want us. And, you know, I'm beating up on the speaker. And honestly, Senate President Harmon is just as much to at fault in this as Speaker Madigan is. They both need to call special sessions for their chambers. And let us get back to Springfield and talk about what's going on and see if we can at least have some movement prior to the election.
Before I let you go today, we started this conversation talking about the Illinois Department of Employment Security. Is that also an indictment in the prospect of mail-in voting?
Well, I think so. Obviously, you can see that the government doesn't handle things well. We still have the issue of these drop boxes that make me very uncomfortable. You know, the original piece of legislation didn't even require that the lock boxes have locks on them. At least now they're required to have locks on them. But once again, what's wrong with putting them in a mailbox where the federal government has responsibility of making sure that they get where they're supposed to go? Even that sometimes run the risk of having some fraud involved in the mail-in balloting. But certainly these drop boxes are a real concern.
Yeah, I saw that being shared by another state. I think it was Chris Emanuel Welch, I think.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
We just have a box where you drop off ballots? Oh, what the hell could go wrong there, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and they did. The final piece of legislation at least also said they had to be picked up every day. Prior to that, there wasn't even any indication how long they could sit in that box. And no one really knows how they're going to be secured, right? It could be a box sitting on the ground with a padlock on it, for gosh sakes. You know, so if people are dropping them off in those lock boxes, I don't know if it's safe or not. I mean, you make your own choice, but I won't be dropping mine off. And I do want to say, Tom, before we get off, please, folks, if you get one of those letters in the mail and it has the key card with it, don't use it. Please immediately contact the fraud unit at IDES. If you can't get through, contact one of our offices, and we'll help you to get through to the IDES offices. But do not use those cards. It is a scam.
Before I let you go, you and I haven't talked about Chris Grissom.
Yeah, my good friend. God bless his family. I'll tell you, Chris was a good soul. He was old school. So every once in a while, Chris would come up with one of those old plans that made you kind of think, wow, those guys knew how to do it, but it wasn't always... You know, it wasn't always conventional, but, you know, Chris worked hard for this state. I worked with him at the Department of Corrections. He was one of the guys that really trained me in the department to do things the right way. And then, of course, he went on to work with the Edgar administration. So not only was he an important part of the Jackson County Republican Party, but he was an important part to the entire state, not only politically, but also in the government. He was a great public servant. And he's going to really be missed by a lot of us.
It's 839 News Radio WJPF. Here's an interesting message that was sent in now. The American Monument text line. We are all tired of everything being put off till after the election. Maybe we just don't pay any elected official until after the election. I like that note.
Well, that was tried once. You know, you got to remember that you have legislators who this is their only job. It's what they do every day, and it is their only income, and they, like I, are willing to go if we're called into session. But remember, you can sometimes be beating up on everyone when in reality this falls back into the lap of Speaker Madigan, Senate President Harmon, and Governor Pritzker. Put the blame where the blame really is.